What is your favorite lease clause and why?
Oh, this is going to highlight what a nerd I am, but I really do love the audit clause. I'm an audit girl at heart. That is my favorite clause. It's probably the nerdiest of all the clauses that have been mentioned. So sorry about that.
No, I love it.
It's a great one. You're verified. True nerd. Hello, everyone. My name is Phil Kellogg, and I'm the Global Head of Portfolio Administration. And today I'm joined by three of my favorite colleagues, Kim Byrne, Ashley Metcalf, and Rory Murray. And we're your team around the table. Today's topic is portfolio administration. What is portfolio administration, you might ask? It's the management of a large set of data from a company's real estate leases and owned properties loaded into a centralized database. The database functions as a source of truth, the system of record for a company's lease obligations and owned asset holdings. Information is the oxygen of the modern age. I think that is an apt quote to start a discussion today. That said, Kim, what role does portfolio administration play in the broader occupier world for both internal and external stakeholders?
It's a big question to start with, isn't it? I think, you know, we would all agree that data's the foundation of everything that we try to do with our clients, and it's so important for everything they're trying to do in managing their portfolios, both from a risk and a compliance perspective, but also then from analyzing kind of opportunities, understanding where your footprint should be, where you need to be to get your talent. All of those things you can't really assess properly. You know, you're almost flying blind if you don't have the data at your fingertips. And having kind of that rigor around the lease administration and the portfolio data is so important to being able to do that. And, you know, lots of our clients, hopefully listening to this, will have legal stakeholders, finance stakeholders, other business stakeholders that are so dependent on the accuracy of that data that we manage. You know, if we think about from a compliance perspective and a finance perspective, the last few years, the lease accounting standards have completely changed the lease administration landscape. Obviously, from a legal perspective, our commitment in contracts, critical dates, managing the risk around those proactively, you know, right through to understanding your footprint, your square footage, your locations in different markets to assess where you need to be for your talent, all of these downstream activities that you can't do if you don't have that data at your fingertips. So it's absolutely foundational.
Right. There's so many different facets, aren't there, Kim? And it's just like using the metaphor oxygen. It's easily taken for granted until it doesn't exist, right?
Exactly. And I think we often find that the importance of a robust data management program comes to the top of the list when something has gone wrong. I think the implementation of the lease accounting standards a few years ago kind of helped change the conversation around that a little bit, but we're still seeing situations where sometimes clients will encounter an issue and it's only then that the gaps in the data or the increasing rigor that's needed around the way they're managing data then becomes something that's a discussion point on the table.
Yeah, I heard a colleague reference the lease accounting standards as the Y2K of our generation. Just like Y2K, it impacted every public and private company around the world. So
yeah,
it's truly, it's forcing many clients to get their house in order, and we're there to help support that.
A little bit more so than the Millennium Bug that we were all very worried about in 1999, I think.
Indeed. So Ashley, what are some of the key themes and developments in data management that you've witnessed over the past 3 to 5 years?
Yeah, it's a great question. So, I mean, Kim kind of touched on it a little bit, but the addition of lease accounting has been instrumental in the data management services that we provide to our clients and making sure that they have what they need to be able to have their ASC 842 reporting, IFRS 16 reporting, ensuring that they have everything that they need to make decisions around where they want to be, where they need to find the correct talent, where they need to be to have the correct sustainability for their portfolio. Just all of those elements really play a piece in the data management role. And that's where our teams really come into play to partner with those clients and make sure that they have what they need to make those decisions and to be where they want to be.
Hey, Rory, I want to bring you into the conversation. Let's talk about a common challenge many companies face. As a corporate services brokerage professional, you often meet with prospective clients that are looking at a first-generation outsourcing or lease administration function. They recognize they need to get their house in order. What value would they derive using an outsourced portfolio administration approach to managing their portfolio data?
Yeah, it's a great question, Phil. And it's amazing to me, even 24 years into Cushman, the conversations that we have with a lot of CFOs and people in the finance group at the companies that we're talking to, even with the new accounting standards, we'll talk to them about our services. And the first one we always hit on is lease administration. And they'll say to us, you know, our leases, most of our leasehold data is just in an Excel spreadsheet, and we don't know if it's fully accurate. Right. And then they start to realize that real estate is a top three or four spend within the organization and something they should really get their arms around. So one of the first things that we do, and Ashley is on a lot of these calls with our prospects and clients early on, and they are amazed to see just a demo of our lease admin system and what it can actually do and how little time it actually takes to get up and running. Right. So the first issue that they have is sometimes it'll be, hey, we've got our data on Excel. We're not sure if it's fully accurate. Can you take a look at it? And then if we send you a couple of our leases, can you take a look and show me, you know, what your system does and how we can start to manage that? And it truly is the foundation of every conversation we're having with a client. It's literally the first service line we talk about because they realize, okay, you know, we do a lot of work in the industrial sector, and with rising industrial rents, they need to be paying a lot closer attention to this and having all their data centralized, trapped in a system that they can actually look at, monitor, review that's not on Excel has been instrumental for these clients. And it's been great to have that be the first service line that we talk to with our clients. I think it makes them feel comfortable that, okay, we can now fully trust our data and make sure that we're looking at all these options and terms and conditions in the right way. So it's been great to be able to do.
Yeah. So it's a real approach about leading with data, isn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely is, right? Because if you don't have data, you're not going to be able to really be proactive or really do anything with the portfolio. So for us, we always say, you know, the most important thing that we can do is get 100% accurate data into a system that we can all trust, right? And we can all look at, you know, when we're doing a quarterly business review with a client, we need to know that the data is 100% accurate in there, good data in, good data out, and we need to make sure that we're looking at it. So it truly is every conversation that we have with a prospect, the first thing we end up talking about is lease administration. And it's amazing to me, even after 24 years, they're still blown away by it. Right. They're like, wait, you can get all this data into a system, because a lot of the clients that we're talking to, Phil, as you and Ashley and Kim know, they're not Fortune 500. Right. They're these companies that are growing rapidly. They don't have a big internal real estate team. And this is a pain point for them. It's a headache. And a lot of times they've missed a critical date or they've misinterpreted a critical date. And all of a sudden they're like, yikes, when is my renewal option? Can you take a look at it? And that's actually one of the first things that we actually do is there'll be a pain point with a client and I'll send Ashley over a lease and say, hey, this prospect or this client is worried about their renewal option. Can you get your eyes on this and just make sure it's accurate? Right. And that's literally the first part of the conversation we have with any prospect. And it just gives them a comfort level with Cushman and the team. And then we start to talk about, you know, how many lease administrators we have across the globe. And it just truly gives them a comfort level that, okay, I can partner with someone and I don't need to worry about this so much anymore. And it's been great.
Yeah. Rory, how many times have we walked into a room with the client and they, you know, either missed a critical date and they were out a bunch of money because of it, or they lost the real estate to because of missing that critical date, or they're in spreadsheets and they just don't trust any of the data because it's stagnant. So anytime we hear those things, we know how to fix it, right?
Ashley, it's really interesting in the Excel spreadsheet world that they live in. A lot of times they'll start and they'll have a really good handle on it because they'll have someone internally handling it, but then that person will leave the company and then that data goes stale for 30, 60, 90 days, and then all the data's off, right? So you've heard it a million times. I mean, I'm just like, okay, let's get it off Excel. Let's get it into a system that we trust and go from there. So yeah, no, it's been instrumental for us.
And I think, Phil, to, you know, look at our clients that are maybe at a slightly different part of the kind of data management journey, they might've had a system in place for a number of years and kind of feel fairly comfortable and confident in the data in that, but then it's, you know, that constant pressure and always trying to drive forward the way that data is being used. So we're working with lots of clients that you know, have very robust lease admin systems that have been in place for a number of years, but now it's, how can I use that data and combine it with other business data sources or, you know, market data sources? How can we combine it with the intelligence of Cushman's data? And how can we structure that data in a way that makes that easy? You know, looking at master data, which I will probably touch on later in the conversation, but how can we make sure there's rigor behind how the master data is set up, how it makes it so easy for our clients to pull data out or integrate the data we're holding in the core lease admin systems with other data sets to help them kind of augment and be more strategic in the way that they're using that data to drive their real estate activity.
Right. So it's one thing to capture the data. It's another to do something interpretive with it, right?
Yeah.
Right. Doing something purposeful with the data. Like, what does it all mean? What is it telling us? It's sort of the what, so what, now what? Yeah.
Exactly.
So, hey, Rory, you mentioned a couple of times there about critical dates. Help for our audience define what are you talking about when you say critical dates?
Yeah. So in any lease document, there's many dates that trigger an opportunity for the brokerage team. You know, a critical date could be they have a renewal option to renew their lease and they need to give notice within X amount of time, or they have a natural lease expiration in 12 months or 18 months or 24 months. It's something that triggers an activity where the client needs to give notice to the landlord that they're either going to be renewing a lease or relocating a lease or giving notice to the landlord. So for us, being able to track all those dates for the client to make sure that, okay, we have 90 days until we have to give our renewal option notice to a landlord is absolutely crucial because it drives the entire strategy of what we're doing for our clients. So on, you know, every weekly call that we have with our clients, our lease admin team is literally on the call with our clients going through critical dates with each one of our clients and saying to the client, hey, in Nashville, Tennessee, we need to give notice to the landlord in 33 days. Let's make sure this is all on our radar. So those are the critical dates that are important that we're talking to our clients about. And I think it's been important for us. We have a weekly call with all of our clients and someone from the lease admin team is on that call with our clients, kind of reminding us all. I know we send out the reports, but literally reminding them all during the call of the notice dates they need to be aware of so we can be more proactive with that data, Phil. It's been instrumental with having the lease administrators on calls with clients because so many times, literally in the middle of a call, they'll say, hey, you know, can you interpret the way that I'm reading this lease? Is this your view on it? And so on and so forth. And having an extra set of eyes on every document, especially too, as clients are going through M&A, they'll come to us and say, hey, we're looking at M&A due diligence. Can you read through these leases and get a point of view on what we need to be aware of, right, for red flags of this company that we're acquiring? It's instrumental. And that's where Rashley, Kim, and the team have been phenomenal, even as clients are looking at M&A. Hey, can you confidentially review this lease and let me know if there's anything that I need to be worried about? That's fully integrated, right? It's not just data sitting in a system. It's, hey, tell me what I need to be aware of as we're going out to acquire this company. So I think it's been super helpful in that regard as well.
Yeah, Rory, you make a great point. You mentioned lease administrators. You know, lease administration is a service-oriented business, Kim, right? Heavily reliant on people and expertise. Where's that talent coming from, and what sort of superpowers do highly successful lease administrators possess?
From a talent perspective, you know, seeing that it is a very detail-oriented skill set, and you definitely have to have that interest and passion for data, it's, you know, those kind of individuals and that skill set that is really attracted to the service line. But what we're seeing, you know, increasingly, myself included, as data becomes more and more important and absolutely critical to every aspect of what we're delivering for our clients, we're seeing kind of talent moving in from all different parts of the industry and bringing with that a really diverse kind of viewpoint to help us deliver best-in-class data management and financial management services for our clients. So to your second part of the question about what kind of superpower or super skill set does a lease administrator need, I think not just having that detail-oriented and very highly analytical approach to the data, it's also about having a more strategic mindset when looking at the data. So really looking at it through the lens of the client and what the client needs to do with that data to drive their strategic portfolio activity, making sure, you know, back to our earlier comments, that the lease administration team is really acting as an extension of the client team and supporting them in their day-to-day activity.
Hey, Roar, you spend a lot of time hanging out with real estate leaders. Anybody come to mind, persona type or what have you, that you've talked to?
Phil, it's a great question. And Kim, I want to piggyback off that. We saw it really firsthand during COVID, right? That March of when it hit, speed to data was absolutely crucial, where all of our clients and a lot of our clients, as I said, are super spread thin, hard charging. They want to make sure they're protecting their company. It was literally day one. What do I do if I can't pay my rent? What are the scenarios that we need to go through from a legal perspective and from a lease perspective that we need to be dealing with? And I think it's been absolutely instrumental to having all that data in one place. Even last week, one of our clients is owned by a very large private equity company, and they were looking at their entire footprint on when they are, where they can do a rooftop consolidation plan. And we got a call directly from the private equity company that owned our client. And they said, we need access to all this data. We're putting together a strategic plan. These are the five things we need from Cushman. And immediately we put our lease administration team right on the call with the private equity group to literally look at all their data and start to come to them proactively with ideas around the portfolio and what they could be doing differently around a rooftop consolidation idea. So Kim, I can't agree with you enough that speed to data and accuracy is absolutely crucial right now as clients continue to grow and scale. And I think it started during COVID, and then it's just kept going through the years as these companies continue to grow and evolve.
Yeah. So let's talk about some of the emerging trends on leveraging data in the database with perhaps a focus on reporting. What's new and next for data visualization, graphical reporting, interactive dashboards, et cetera? Obviously, the days of Excel-based spreadsheet reporting are passé or gone, right? Just in our own lifetime, we've seen a real evolution towards interpretive graphical data reporting. What's new and notable there?
Consumable format, that makes sense. But that is a trend that we're seeing when we're talking to clients about what their needs are from a technology standpoint. It's not just a database that houses the information, but they want to see it in a way that's meaningful to them. They want to be able to analyze it. And that's what we're seeing out in the market today. Kim, do you want to add anything about what we're actually seeing in real time?
You know, it's table stakes now to have a suite of dashboards that are interrogating and visualizing your data. The lease admin system's really the engine that holds all of the detail, the audit trail, the governance, which is really important. But, you know, if you're trying to run a real estate portfolio, you don't have the time to get down into the weeds of that. And to your point, Phil, you know, be messing around with an Excel as much as we all love it from time to time. So having a suite of dashboards that brings that data together and not only presents it back to you, but starts to interrogate it, allow you to do scenario planning, and critically bringing in other data sources. So Ashley mentioned sustainability, you know, at the beginning of this discussion. We're seeing more and more of the need to kind of bring those types of data sets into the dashboard suites as well to allow clients to start to manage that alongside the portfolio data. And I think the other thing that we're seeing in terms of the functionality of the data, the dashboards themselves, is, you know, the ability to share that with C-suite stakeholders and other senior stakeholders in the business at a touch of a button. I mean, that's the real power of it, isn't it? Someone says, I need to know what's going on in this region now. And you're able just to share that.
It's like so valid what you just hit on, because literally 2 weeks ago, one of our clients was having a board meeting and they literally sent me their board level deliverable. And they said, can you drop in 4 or 5 dashboards from your lease admin system where we want to hit? And I think that's exactly it. 3 or 4 years ago, we probably weren't being asked that questions, or we didn't have really great dashboards to drop in. So I just think it's so relevant right now what we're seeing.
And so I think knowing that, and knowing that's how our clients need to use the data and kind of add that extra power to what they're able to do with it, when we're going into kind of setting up databases or helping our clients manage this data, you know, now we do need to be really focused on that master data piece. So if in future you want to integrate this data with other data sources, or you want to do more with it, how are we going to set that data up today that allows you to do that in future? And that's where that piece around kind of defining the data standards and the master data and things becomes so much more important.
Yeah, I think of helping clients get to that aha moment that much faster, or helping clients have the informed insights they need to make smart decisions. And certainly data visualization, graphical reporting has all helped us achieve that. All right, let's pause for a bit of fun. I have a couple of less serious questions to pose to the panel. So in this order, let's go Rory, Kim, Ashley. First up, what is your favorite lease clause and why? Rory?
Yeah, Phil, great question. Especially over the last 12 or 18 months, it has to be restoration clause, because clients sign leases 5, 10, 15 years ago, and then all of a sudden they realize, yikes, when we exit a building, we have to restore the space to and sometimes original condition, and there's a huge cost associated with that, especially in the industrial and the life sciences world. So paying close attention to restoration clauses well before a client exits a lease is super important to make sure our clients don't have any hidden surprises as we are exiting a lease, that they've got a big cost to restore the lease back to original condition. So that's one we've seen a huge one lately for sure.
Love it. Thanks, Rory. Kim?
I mean, to ask a lease administration person their favorite lease clause, I mean, that is like tough choice. But I think, you know, the work that we're doing and the developments that we're making around the way we manage sustainability data and some of the green lease clauses that we need to capture now is really interesting from a professional perspective at the moment, because this is data that we haven't managed before in the way we're needing to manage it now. And we are having to get to grips with what does that look like? How do we interpret these clauses that, you know, when green leases first came into place, they weren't so kind of black and white. And lease abstractors very much like to work in the definitive, not in the world of interpretation. So how can we help define the way we manage that data and enable our clients to really use it to their advantage? So lots of interest in those clauses at the moment.
Definitely. Really crucial. Ashley?
Oh, this is going to highlight what a nerd I am, but I really do love the audit clause. I'm an audit girl at heart, and being someone that spent half of my career on the landlord side and now the other half on the tenant rep side, I find it very intriguing to see when a contingency audit can be performed or what kind of caps are involved in the CAM language and, you know, what sort of strategy an auditor might have to try to find some savings for our clients. So that is my favorite clause. It's probably the nerdiest of all the clauses that have been mentioned. So sorry about that.
No, I love it.
It's a great one. You're verified. True nerd. All right. So this is a yes or no question. Have you ever read a lease that is older than you? And to stay out of the crosshairs from HR, I'm not asking you to reveal your age, just have you seen a lease that's older than you? And I'll say personally, I have. In my days as a transaction manager for a large financial institution on the West Coast, I can well remember a lease that was over 100 years old. And just the joy of having that onion skin paper in my fingers and the smell of dust, it was just like the archives of time were in my hands. So Rory, you first, then Kim, then Ashley.
I can't match that, Phil. I wish I could, but I can't. Maybe just because I'm so young. But no, I have not seen a lease that is older than me. We've seen some older ones. We've seen some outdated ones with, it's funny, you see like 50, amendment 15, right? Like, you know, amendment after amendment after amendment. But I have not seen one older than me. I'll turn it to Ashley. I don't know if you have, but I have not.
I think the oldest lease I ever reviewed was a rail lease, and I'm pretty sure that it had some old English in the language there too. So definitely older than me. Kim?
Yeah, I think so. Although I feel bad for not really remembering it in the way that you have, Phil, but I guess it's the nature of the UK property market as well. We have some very old lease documents, including long leaseholds that, you know, can go back to the 1800s. So
that's awesome. Yeah, everything in Europe is much older, isn't it? Thanks, team, for playing along with my zany questions. Let's get serious again. I'll call this one a jump ball. Maybe we'll start with you, Kim. A hot topic in lease administration is artificial intelligence, AI, machine learning, and automation of manual processes. Help me separate myth from reality. Is the time now or in the near future? How quickly do you see this being adopted across the industry?
I think it's such an interesting time to be in the lease administration data management industry when we are seeing the acceleration and development of artificial intelligence tools for abstraction. And just so we're all kind of on the same page with abstraction, when we use that term, that's really the pulling out key information within our lease documents in a succinct and standardized way, and then storing that information in a kind of rigorous database to allow that information to be easily digested and used. And so what the AI tools are starting to do is automate that process, you know, using their language processing capabilities and the generative AI learning. We are moving towards a scenario where those tools may be able to do the majority of that abstraction activity without a human in the loop review. And by human in the loop, I mean, you know, a person sitting down and doing quality control and checking the information that's been abstracted against the original lease document. In terms of the hype from reality, I think we have seen over the last few years that that technology has developed significantly. From a personal perspective, and you know, some of the tools that I've seen, we're not at the point where we can deploy those tools whole scale and get the levels of accuracy that we need to deliver all those things to our clients that we've talked about in this conversation. But we are moving closer to that point where we can start to deploy these tools in different scenarios, potentially in very specific scenarios where we've got a set of standardized lease documents, or in particular, you know, a set of standardized English lease documents, because when you add in multi-languages, that's a whole another set of capabilities that the tool needs to develop.
Right now, what we're seeing is that we can get an accuracy level from our teams that is much higher from an AI perspective. So from AI, we're seeing anywhere from, you know, 40% to 60% accuracy. And that's just not good enough, not for our clients and not for us, and certainly not for Rory. So we want to make sure that we give our teams, we give our clients the accuracy that we expect, which is, you know, at least a 98% or better. And that's what we're getting from our teams, from the abstraction that Kim just described. But, you know, still looking at AI as a potential for sometime in the future. And we're seeing advancements, you know, from an AI perspective very quickly. It's very, the speed to market on AI is very, very fast. So we're hopeful that we'll see some enhancements very soon.
Right. So it's really exciting to see where AI is taking us. It's going to be exciting to see where we land. So I'm mindful that less is best. Perhaps we should stop there so that people can get on with their lives. This has been great fun, and I hope our listeners had a good nap or found some inspiration in something that was said today by our illustrious panel. Thank you, everyone. That'll bring our podcast today around portfolio administration to a close. Hope you found some inspiration in what the panel had to share with you today. And my appreciation to Rory, Kim, Ashley for the great insight you shared with us on today's call.